Alright, yeah. I'm tethered to my mobile, so that was why I said we'll try it. Because I'm not sure how good it will be.
Okay, fair enough. How's it going with you?
Internet is down at home, so...
Oh, no!
Just about sums up how it's going with me at the moment.
Oh, dear. You had a bad night last night, did you?
It's not been great all week, actually. Charlie ended up in hospital again on Tuesday, so he was in overnight. Ambulanced from Blewd to Barnstable. Thankfully not blue lights, because that's what scares Sophie. But
was he all right, though?
He's still, his chest is still crappy, but we're able to manage it at home with inhalers and stuff like that now.
Right, okay, cool.
He was just bad on Tuesday, and then we took him to the doctor like late in the evening, and he gets a nebulizer, and as soon as he's put on that, they have to check him over at Barnstable, really. So,
right, okay.
Kept him in overnight, so.
Poor little fella.
And then Maggie's ill as well, which is why I was sleepless last night. She's got the same kind of cold cough as Charlie, but it doesn't affect her as badly.
Yeah.
But she's like got some kind of eye and ear infection as well, it seems, as well. So she's just having no sleep whatsoever.
Oh, dear me.
So there's the bad thing of having a spare room that guests can, in theory, stay in, is that the kids know that there's a spare double bed, and if they're not feeling great, they kind of like coerce you to go into the spare room and the spare double bed and sleep next to them.
Brilliant. They're not daft, are they, kids?
No, and Maggie is the wriggliest bloody kid in the world. She just will not stay still. Like, even set rules saying, you've got the white pillow, I've got the grey pillow, do not come onto my grey pillow. So she's got space within her, it's a double bed, she's got space there to wiggle around as much as she wants, but she still ends up like kicking me in the back and ends up sleeping like horizontal instead of vertically. And So yeah, not much sleep last or for the past two nights, along with the hospital visits and stuff like that.
Oh, that's not much fun at all, is it?
Well, what's your, you got all rainbows and sunshine in Reading?
Yeah, obviously, of course, it's always rainbows and sunshine. It's been a pretty miserable week weather-wise, but yeah, it's all right. I think this week has just been ticking along, really. Finding it frustrating, not getting the time to work on what I want to work on, but you know, no major dramas like you've been having, that's for sure.
No, are these just the excuses you were talking about the other day?
It might well be.
It's funny. Tell me your excuses. I'll smash them out of the park.
Well, I don't know.
I'll tell you, they are just excuses.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You're coming up with, you're thinking they're the problem is if you think they're big problems, but they're not. They're just excuses. That's,
yeah. Well, I went through. I basically listened to it again, that podcast. I listened to it whilst I was. So I was too behind when you messaged me. I'd forgotten I was too behind, so I listened to the one previous on my run, and so I was suspecting he was going to be saying in the latest one. I was suspecting Mike was going to be saying like, "Oh yeah, Google want to charge me $75,000, so I'm shutting Blue Tick down." That's what I was expecting. I didn't realise it was going to be kind of a, you know, let's dig into Mike's psyche sort of episode. But
we're talking about, in case we release this as a podcast, I don't know if we will. We're talking about startups for the rest of us, aren't we?
That's right.
The latest
podcast
of that.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they knew the conversation was going to go that way, to be honest.
Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I just thought there's a lot of what he was saying resonated with a bit of how I feel from time to time. I'm perhaps not as sort of severe as maybe he has with the health problems and all that kick in. The sorts of things, like one of the things I wrote down, I listened to it again and wrote down some of the things that occurred to me. One of them was like prioritizing is a real struggle because I've got so many things that I could do, you know. I've always got something which is more important than everything else. But in terms of just focusing on that one thing, I find it quite difficult because what will happen is, you know, I'll get a bunch of support issues come in and it'll be like, well, I need to fix this for them. But if I just did this, then that would also mean that this feature that I've got to do is a bit further along. And, you know, so then I suddenly get, my head starts going, oh, well, I should just do that then, shouldn't I? And then you end up losing a day working on something which I could have just fixed in half an hour for the customer rather than do the all round solution that would fix it for other customers as well. And it's debatable, you know, and obviously that's a good thing to have the thing fixed for all customers so that they can all do it. But it's taken away that day from the most important task that I have on my list. Do you know what I mean? So that kind of prioritization thing, I'm always, always struggling with. And I complain about not getting things that I want to get done finished because I've deliberately diverted myself onto something else. You know, that.
It depends how often that issue comes up, though, for customer or customers, doesn't it, as to whether I fix it or not. Like we've spoken about bottlenecks before.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'll probably do stuff manually for ages and ages and ages until I hit breaking point and then automate it or fix it or whatever.
I think maybe
is that the way you do it, or is it the first time something comes up where you try and go and fix it?
Not the first time generally, no. But it is I think because I've had so many things like that for so long, that they all now, I'm at breaking point on all of them. So, you know, so when a request comes in, I'm like, oh, Christ, I'll get my head in these emails. So that's what spurs me on to want to get it done, you know, so I'll go and do it. And I know that I probably won't get another email like that for a couple of weeks, maybe a month, but I will get another one. I don't know. It's funny. It's a key thing. And part of it as well is not just the fact that if I fix it now for this customer, then it will go away. It's also, that's a neat way of procrastinating on that I should be doing, you know, because I'm still doing something useful, but it's not what I should be.
You're still making progress, though, even if you do fix that one thing for that customer, aren't you? You're still shipping something.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is something that was spoken about in that podcast of
shipping
stagnating or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know.
As long as if you get into the mindset of shipping something every week, and shipping is fixing things and it is new features and it is marketing stuff.
Yeah.
As long as you are making progress.
I think you're right, yeah. I think it's not the end of the world. It's just that it's frustrating when I say, like on a mastermind group, I say, right, so this is what I'm working on, main priority. And then the next mastermind says, yeah, but I also did this and I did this and I did this. And it's like, well, that's not your main priority then, is it? It's like, but it is my main priority, but it can't be if you're doing other stuff. Do you know what I mean?
You've got to break those priorities down into smaller things as well, smaller tasks. Like, you know this, don't you?
Yeah, I do, but I'm not very good at it. I do know it, but it doesn't mean I do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the sake of your other mastermind people, so you're not repeating yourself every week of your main priority, just break it down into smaller bits, and then at least you can say you've got subtask A of priority one done.
That's a good cheat, that. I should do that.
I
do tend to say, like, this is my main priority, and it's quite a big feature, you know, that might take ages. So I should break it down into smaller chunks, at least to report it to them, and then I don't get so much of a bollocking.
Well, there you go.
I like it.
Well, there's little hacks like that. They've got to make you feel like you're making progress as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're right. I should do it. I'm really bad. I know,
and we
I
all know that. We all know this. It's not rocket science or new information, is it?
I'm really bad at sitting down and because I know it's me doing it and I know what's involved. I don't generally sit down and map out every task down to any level, really. I just say, well, this I need to do, and I know what and I should do. You can tick things. Yeah, but then again,
definitely. I think we spoke about. You said, you know, you felt like Mike lots of times, and I think that's not the case anymore, because you have got success with your new project, haven't you? Like, there's times over the we've been doing this podcast where we've both been flailing around on various projects and stuff like that, and perhaps we both felt like that. But I think now you've got momentum and success, and you're running and living off your project as well, aren't you? Which is a big thing.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Don't think you should get into that mindset of what was talked about in that podcast.
No, I think you're right. When you sit back and then analyze it a bit further, it's just I could see a lot of the things he was saying. Well, maybe not the things he was saying, things that Rob was sort of saying back to him, you know, about how... I mean, I wrote a list about prioritizing struggle, as I just said. Speed bumps tend to affect me. So he's talking about the problems that come up that should just be things that you need to fix and get on with it. You know, I do tend to fixate on them a bit as well. Not shipping enough, but then I think I do that actually in retrospect, talking to you now. Yeah, so those sorts of things. I think maybe everyone suffers from those things to some extent. It's good, though. It's good to I feel bad for Mike, obviously, but it was good to listen to that episode.
Yes, yeah. Well, I think they've obviously been getting questions or feedback about it for a while, or just wondering what's been going on with Blue Tick and stuff, haven't they? So maybe that conversation has been coming for a while. Hey-ho.
Have you got any work done this week?
Little bits and pieces. So I tried yesterday. This is one thing I was going to talk about. It was frustrating me yesterday. On my list of things to do is to record an overview of sanity check. So I stopped doing the offering demos. And what I wanted to do was basically record one of the demos so that if people do ask for it, which a couple have this week, then I could just send them a link to the YouTube walkthrough. Mm-hmm. And so I've done countless number of demos for sanity check, you know, on a one-to-one basis. So I thought I'd be able to do this easily, but obviously when you're doing a demo, if you fumble a word or something, you can quickly correct yourself.
Yeah.
And so trying to record this, what would probably be a 20-25 minute walkthrough of sanity check yesterday, was just the most frustrating experience of my entire, not my entire, but most frustrating experience of yesterday, I'll say that.
Yeah.
It'll be too dramatic. Yeah. And I gave up after a couple of hours. I don't know whether it's sleep deprivation and I just couldn't get the words out in the right order that I wanted to. Or I'm out of practice of doing it, or I don't know.
Yeah.
But I didn't get it done. Basically, I tried various ways. I tried just winging it, first of all, you know, just talking as though I was doing a demo. But as I've said, you can't go back when you're doing a recording for a YouTube video or something. You can't go back and, or it doesn't look very good if you go back and correct yourself and so forth. So this is part of what I've tried. So I then tried writing out a script, but then I found it difficult to read it again without slipping over words and stuff. But then I tried doing small segments as well, so I could stitch them together. And that's quite useful as well, because I can do the small segments to post as individual videos on individual support articles. But I was even struggling with that. So it was at that point I gave up. So from about 2 to 3 hours of trying to record a walkthrough video, I think I got about 1:30 introduction done.
Yeah, it's difficult.
And I think it was at some point during step two of writing out a script and trying to read it, I thought maybe this is just sleep deprivation and maybe I should try it another day.
I think you need to be feeling pretty fresh and up for it. It is a nightmare. I remember recording, I've not recorded every year, but I remember I spent like 2 days doing it simply because of what you're talking about, going backwards. What I did in the end was I'd just keep recording and then keep redoing the bits that I messed up. But then it's a nightmare because you've got to go through the whole thing and edit it down and cut out the bits that went wrong and all that kind of.
Yeah, that's what I don't want to do. I used to do loads of these for SharePoint and Lightning Tools products as well. So I guess it's as much a practice thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I did think about just doing a borrowing you for 30 minutes, doing a demo to you and recording it.
Yeah.
I could do that to one of the people who've asked for a video, actually. I'll see. Perhaps over the weekend, if I've had some good sleep, I will try this process again. And if not, then I might end up having to either borrow you or reach out to one of the people who've asked for a video and see if they'll do it live.
Yeah, that's no worries. Yeah, we should do that.
Just get it done.
Yeah, it is hard though. It's harder than it seems, or harder than it should be.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to the thing we were talking about at the start, actually. I was doing some cold emailing outreach stuff for Sanity Check and found someone who'd come up with a list of book recommendations.
All right.
I don't know if you've come across a bloke called Grant Cardone before.
Ring a bell.
So he's quite a controversial bloke. He's quite funny as well. If you realise it is going to be controversial, what he says, it is quite amusing. But he's some American guy who's. I'm only a bit through his book, but he wrote a book called 10X. And the basic premise is that everything's going to be 10 times harder than you think it's going to be.
Right.
And as long as you know that you're going to have to put 10 times effort into what you originally think, then you kind of won't fail. And you should set your goals 10 times higher than what you have done. Realize it's going to take 10 times more effort. And you can't really fail at that, because if you only get to 1 times what your goal was, that's still a good achievement. Whereas if you set just a 1 times goal and you fail, you know, you've only got, say, 10% of where you wanted to get to.
Right. Okay, yeah.
Which is lower if you've only set a 1 times goal. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm following you, yeah.
It's the whole aim for the stars and you might get to the moon type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than just be comfortable, I guess.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like, the guy is controversial, as I've said. He's got like some people are accusing him of having real estate scams and stuff like that. And I'll send you over a video thing that he's done, which is amusing. You've got to watch it. But it got me thinking about, you know, success bias and, you know, the stories that we read and the stories that we tell ourselves. And obviously there's 37, or Basecamp, which was 37 signals that are all, you know, you don't have to work so hard, just 8 hours a day, blah, 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 blah. But first of all, what if that's not true? What if they're just making that up to be part of their marketing story? And what if they were working, you know, 20 hours a day and they're all crunching away and stuff like that? Perhaps at the start, anyway. You know, there was a certain amount of time in luck, and they've said this as well, you know, one of the first web apps, SaaS apps.
Yeah.
So they were certainly a first time to market success thing to them. But what if they are and were working harder than what they say, and they've used this, you know, only 6 to 8 hours a day as part of their marketing strategy? And as they had time on their side and luck on their side, what I've probably heard more success stories from people that have worked harder rather than just, you know, just doing the minimum amount of work each day.
Yeah.
So we probably prefer to hear the stories of Basecamp, because it certainly sounds a lot better to only have to work, you know, 4 to 5 hours a day and have great success and be racing cars.
Fits in with the dream, doesn't it?
Yeah, rather than having to actually put 10 times the effort into what you think it originally is going to be to actually get anywhere. So it's just something I was thinking about last night as I was reading the kind of first couple of chapters of this book. And that maybe we do just have to bite the bullet and work harder than what we think we do.
Yeah. But is he saying more the fact that if you say something's like, I don't know, going to take a day, you think it's going to take a day, but then when you actually write down the plan for it, you give it 10 days, then if you get it done in a day, fine, that's brilliant. But if you get it done in 10 days, then you don't feel bad because you've still got it done in the time you estimated. Is that kind of the nutshell?
I guess so, yeah. It's going to take 10 times more effort than you think. Yeah. So if I say, well, I'm going to send out 10 cold emails about Silency Check and I'll get, you know, one customer, that's probably not going to happen. I'll probably have to send out 100 cold emails to get one customer.
Right, yeah.
It's just about underestimating the effort it takes to get things done, I guess.
Yeah. I think that's not a bad idea, really, is it? Because that is frustrating. Like I was saying earlier, at the start of the podcast, with those issues that come in from customers, and I just think, you know, I'll just get that done rather than spend the half hour. I can end up losing a day just doing that one sort of fix where, it, you know, in my head when I started it, I thought, oh, it'll be a couple of hours, whatever, you know. Mm. It's really easy to underestimate the amount of effort in these things. And once you get going, it's difficult to stop.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway, I'll send you a link over to that video that he's done himself. It's quite amusing to get a take on kind of character he is.
Yeah, I'll have a look.
And, I'll let you know when I read more of the book. It was only some initial thoughts of having read a few chapters last night.
Cool.
Hi.
Great. So, what you got? Have you got anything planned for the weekend?
Catching up on work, hopefully.
Yeah.
Recording some overview videos, catching up on emails, trying to ship something, because I was thinking, you know, if I try and ship something each week, that might be the overview video, actually. So like, if I can get that done, that'll be happy.
Yeah.
But I've got some features that in Silency Check that are kind of half done that won't take too much effort to get finished. But
are you really going to make a 20-minute overview video, or are you going to try and cut it down into smaller? I don't think anybody watches a 20-minute video, do they?
That's how long the demos were, so.
Right.
The demos were like 30 minutes, I always scheduled, and they took, like, me walking through the features took 20 minutes. That was why I was going to do it as individual features and then amalgamate it to one long video as well, in case people wanted
to
have both options in.
It's a good idea, because I when I recorded the demo videos I did, granted it was a while ago, I sort of did a quick Google search for what the recommended length of the time was saying, like 4 minutes is the maximum that people will sit down and watch. So if you broke it down into 4 minute chunks, that would be good for that aspect.
Mm-hmm. So why do people do 30-minute or hour demos then?
I don't know. I don't know. But that's what I mean. I guess if somebody's really interested in the product, then they'll sit down for 30 minutes and watch it.
Yeah. And so these are for people who would sign up for a webinar or whatever, like a one-to-one video thing.
Yeah.
So perhaps they are. They've signed up for Silency Check. They've authenticated. They've got it going. But yeah, I'll have both. The idea is to have both options.
Yeah,
anyway.
I think that'd be good, yeah. Excellent. Cool. So, yeah. So I've got tomorrow... try for Lois's school, which is good fun. Usually it's like a mini triathlon. It's not really a triathlon, but they do, like, they've got a pool there, so they do a few legs of the pool, then run around the field a few times, and then the cycling, whichever way around it goes, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Cycling around the foot. So it's quite a good day out. We have a barbecue going and stuff at the school, so that's my plan for tomorrow.
Nice. Hope the weather holds up for that.
Yeah, that's the only worry at the moment, but it should be good. Yeah, and I'll probably end up doing some work this weekend.
And do the running.
Yeah, that's where I'm going after this. I managed to get out on Wednesday, and I'm going to go today again. Oh, I started to use the Streaks app that you recommended.
Yeah.
And
what do you think of it?
It's all right. It's good. It's kind of doing what I want. So far, the only thing that is bothering is when it reminds you, you know, it just goes off with an alert saying you need to
turn that off, though, can't you?
Yeah, I'd have to. Yeah, I was hoping that I'd be able to sort of set. This is classic, not invented here, but I kind of just wanted it to say, when do you want to be reminded? And then I'll say, right, these times.
Oh, you can do that.
Can you?
Oh, yeah, I haven't only once, I think. That, yeah. Let me have a look. I'm hearing it now. I'm pretty sure you can, anyway. Notification setting, automatic times. Yeah, I'm sure you can.
I'll dig into it a bit more. I haven't, like I said, I've only just started using it.
Yeah, you can. What habits have you put in, do you want to say? You don't have to.
I'll just have a look. I've done 5 mindful minutes.
Yeah.
Organize today's tasks. So that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to have organized today's tasks. So I wanted to be able to set that first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And then I've got run 6 kilometers 3 times a week. So those are 3 I've got in there at the moment, but I've got loads more to add in from my lights spreadsheet. I'm pretty sure.
You don't have too many.
No, I won't. No, I know from the lights spreadsheet, I've not got too many, but a lot of them are things like, things like phoning my granddad every week, you know, well, so that he's an old guy these days, and so he goes to bed quite early. So if I forget and it gets to 8 o'clock at night, it's too late already.
Mm.
So I need to make sure I did have that. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, lots of things like that I've got. So I've never got in there. Yeah, I've probably got about 10, and some of them are just like one day a week, things like that.
Kind of like every day ones.
Yeah.
One day a week. Cool. All right.
Cool. Yeah. All right. So I shall speak to you next week.
Yeah, all right. Have a good week.
All right, cheers. And you.
See ya.
Bye.